This is KVNF Regional News. It's Wednesday, February 26th. I'm Patricia Naft. A Hotchkiss-based environmentalist group is part of a coalition that is asking Coloradans to give local governments the ability to say no to natural gas drilling in their community. Friends for a Healthy Community is part of a larger statewide group called Local Control Colorado. Last week, the group proposed a ballot measure that would amend the state's constitution to allow cities, counties, and other local governments to restrict where and when oil and gas wells are built. It would also give locals the ability to dictate which types of drilling processes are used, including hydraulic fracking or fracturing. The Western Colorado Oil and Gas Association opposes the ballot measure. David Ludlam, the group's spokesman, told the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel that bans on fracking are, quote, a form of unnecessary extremism. Ludlam said, such bans have no legitimate place when it comes to rational, balanced discussions about where energy comes from and what technologies are required to produce it. The ballot measure was inspired by five Front Range cities that have already passed local bans against fracking. The state of Colorado is suing one of those cities over the ban, and Governor John Hickenlooper says he opposes local efforts to regulate oil and gas drilling. If the ballot measure is accepted, it will need 86,000 signatures by August to make it on this fall's ballot. A huge rock slide closed U.S. 550 south of Ouray for over 2.5 weeks this winter, the longest period that road has been closed in recent memory. The road closure made life inconvenient for the people of Ouray, which is really Silverton, but it is really Silverton that felt the full impact. The Colorado Department of Transportation, or CDOT, reopened the road on February 11th, and now Silverton residents are starting to take stock of how the rock slide affected the town's economy. KVNF's Emily Guerin spoke with Samantha Wright, a reporter at the Watch newspaper in Ouray. She asked Wright to describe the rock slide that closed the road for so long.
There was a massive, most likely unprecedented, rockfall in an area known as the Ruby Walls, which is about 2 miles south of Ouray. It's a very sheer, exposed, cliffy part of the highway, and CDOT geologists think that a chunk of rock the size of a football field broke loose and crumbled into rubble and rained down on the highway 900 feet below.
What did they have to do to get the road opened again?
First, they had to establish a way for the workers to get up into the rockfall area, which was, as I said, 900 feet above the highway, this sheer cliff face. They used a method called scaling, which is when they use metal bars to release boulders and send them down the slope. And when they had scaled as much as they could, they used helicopters to bring in these huge pieces of metal mesh, which they sort of bolted over the debris that was still scattered on the cliff face to hopefully keep it from slipping down onto the road below.
And they must have also had to clear all the debris from the road, right?
Oh, yeah. And that was risky in itself because as they were clearing the road, there was still a rockfall coming from above. They had a system where they used spotters to alert the people working on the road if there was a rock coming down, and they'd get out of the way really fast.
What was the impact of having the road closed just on drivers?
Drivers had to follow a 200-mile detour, and they'd have to go over Dallas Divide toward Telluride and then over Lizard Head Pass and to Durango and then all the way up from Durango to Silverton.
And of course, a lot of the people that would have been driving that road were tourists going to Silverton to ski or stay in hotels. So what was the impact on the economy in Silverton?
Silverton's economy definitely took a hit from this road closure. I think because Silverton is just more isolated than Ouray, I think it felt the closure in a more painful way. And just talking to Jen Brill, who is the co-owner of Silverton Mountain, she said that they experienced up to 90% decrease in skiers during those days when the highway was completely closed.
Those people must have been staying at hotels in town and eating
in
restaurants too, right?
Mm-hmm. Just everything. Everything in town was very slow.
It sounds like given Silverton's location, that community was the most impacted, but how did the pass closure affect Ouray?
It's kind of mixed messages coming from Ouray. The ice climbing was still here, but maybe the people driving through to go up onto Red Mountain Pass to play in the snow for the day, they weren't coming through, so business was down maybe about 20%.
What does this rock slide say about the role of transportation agencies like CDOT in really making life possible in these remote mountain communities?
Oh, I think this event has completely underscored how much we rely on CDOT, not only for this sort of very risky rockfall mitigation that they undertook, but for just keeping the road open in the winter through the most avalanche-prone stretch of highway in the United States.
Do you think that this, the pass closure and the rock slide, made people who live in Silverton kind of rethink what it means to live in a place that remote and that dependent on these pretty treacherous mountain passes being open?
I think people in Silverton are already really aware of that. I think everyone in Silverton has a very healthy respect for Red Mountain Pass. And I spoke to one woman who said, you know, whenever I drive past the Ruby Walls and I get to the other side, I just say to myself, well, I guess that wasn't my day to die. I think that everyone who drives that road with any frequency knows that it's a dangerous road, and CDOT does the best it can to keep the road as safe as possible, but that doesn't mean it's ever going to be completely safe.
That's Samantha Wright. She's a reporter with the Watch newspaper in Ouray. Thanks so much for talking to us.
You're welcome.
There are fewer hunters and fishermen in Colorado than 10 years ago, but more people are doing other kinds of outdoor wildlife recreation. That's according to a new report by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. In 2011, there were 16% fewer fishermen than in 2001. The number of hunters dropped by 8% in the same time period, according to iNews Network. The decline also means Coloradans are spending less money on equipment. The percentage of bird and wildlife watchers and photographers increased in the same time period. The report does not reflect the stricter gun control measures passed in 2013. The next report will likely show what effect, if any, those measures have on the state's hunting and fishing industry. The tiny town of Marble, Colorado, is the latest Western Slope community to allow retail marijuana sales. That's according to the Aspen Daily News. There are less than 200 people in Marble, which is located up the Crystal River on the east side of McClure Pass. Even though the town's trustees have given the go-ahead for pot shops, thus far no one has proposed building one. Still, town trustee Vince Savage said it could take the town some money if it ever happens. Rather, it could make the town some money if it ever happens. Stay tuned for the Wednesday Morning Music Mix with Jeff Reynolds. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.